This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following address was given on Sunday, June 29, 2014, the Feast of Saints Peter and Paul, by Mr. Louis Campis.
Who do you say that I am? I am going to take a very brief moment to introduce the one who will address us today. And basically, it's a manifestation of this gospel call of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who do you say that I am? One who is going to speak to you is one who answered that question ultimately in his life, and he is truly one that has fought the good fight and he has run the race. So now that things are changing in his life, he wants to take another direction. So he wanted to address the folks. A lot of people, if you're a visitor or you're relatively new around here, you don't realize the fact that he was here when this was like a bare lot. You know, he started this a long, long, long time ago. It would be just a building if it wasn't for him and his friends. And ultimately, it would definitely not be a Catholic church if it wasn't for him. So he has answered the call as to who do you say that I am? Because ultimately, our Lord wants us to embrace the fact that it is he who is our Christ and our Savior. It is he who has founded the church on the rock that is Peter. And the ultimate goal in his life was communion with St. Peter, and that was ultimately fulfilled. So again, he has fought the fight, he has run the race, and for this last time, he wants to address this congregation.
Good morning. Everybody awake this morning? Today, as we celebrate the feast of St. Peter and Paul, two of the most recognized saints in the Catholic Church, as I prepared this meditation, I asked myself a couple of questions. Maybe you can ask yourself the same question. I asked myself this question, just what is a saint? Have you ever asked yourself that question? What is a saint? And what are the prerequisites to belong to that awesome group of men and women of God? What is a saint? Well, I look for a simple definition. There's not many simple definitions, but here's what I found out. A saint is holy persons. Well, that makes sense. With saintly characteristics, and that makes sense. They must be faithful, they must be good, they must be godly and pious and holy and angelic and spiritual and devout and moral and pure, righteous and virtuous, just to name a few of characteristics. They must also be people who lived for Christ. They also must be people who are willing to suffer with Christ. They also must be people who to live in him, in his glory. They must be a model of sanctity. And they must be set aside as a saint by the Holy Church and the Holy Father. Well, I had to stop there. I've been around the church a long, long time. And I'm having trouble remembering anyone with all those attributes. But maybe I missed someone. Is there anyone here that has every one of those attributes that I've mentioned to be a saint? Would you raise your hand, please? Oh, just Albert. Oh, that's good. Well, the reason for all this information, of course, this morning is that I like to take a close look at the persons we are honoring today. I think it's important that we look at the people. And they're really people. They're not make-believe people. They're not something that we've made up in our imagination. They're really people like you and I, flesh and blood. Let's start with St. Paul this morning. Before his name was changed to Paul, his name was Saul, Saul of Tarsus. And he was a card-carrying Pharisee in the first degree. And Pharisee means separated ones. He was part of a fundamental Jewish religious party. He was the most educated of all the apostles. I mean, he really was. He studied at the feet of the best teachers of the law, Gamaliel. He was trained as a theologian. He had great skill in preaching and teaching and writing these wonderful letters in all these different languages. He was really, really a bright guy. Yet, this Saul of Tarsus, listen carefully, this Saul of Tarsus, turned all of his theological knowledge and talent against the ministry of Jesus Christ and all of his works. For Saul believed that Jesus and his works were heretical. He was a false teacher, he said. Against the God of Israel, he proclaimed. And in fact, if Paul was with us this Sunday, as he believed then, he would round every one of you up, every single one of you, men, women, and children, and to carry you off to jail like he did with so many Christians in his time. All of us. Even worse, if you recall, he aided in the death of our first martyr, St. Stephen. Does this sound like he had the attributes of a saint? Come on, you could nod, yes, no. Does this sound like he had the attributes of saints? More about Paul in a minute. Let us now turn to Simon. That was Peter's name before the Lord changed it. Well, Simon was a simple fisherman. He certainly was not a theologian. He was not educated like Saul and was introduced to the Lord by his brother Andrew. The Lord gave Simon the name of Cephas, the Aramaic equivalent of the Greek name Peter, the rock. I read from a scripture scholar just the other day, that when the Lord named Peter, he thought it was like a nickname, calling him someone like Rocky. I thought it was cute to say that because it showed that the Lord had sort of a sense of humor. And our Lord does have a sense of humor. I can prove that. Just look around. Okay. And then the Lord told all of his apostles, especially Peter and Andrew, he says, I will make you fishers of men. What an awesome promise. A fisher of men. A fisher of men. Wow. That's got to be exciting. But, like Peter, like so many members of the church, like many of us, including you, Arthur, many of us, let his weaknesses show. Peter argued all the time. He went, oh, mamma mia, that guy was driving everybody crazy. He had a terrible temper. He bragged and he cursed. And he slashed out with a sword and cut someone's ear off. He really did. And finally, he denied Jesus Christ 3 times. Had any of you denied Jesus Christ 3 times? No? Okay, good. He, like Saul, was far from perfect. Does this sound like he had the attributes of a saint? Come on. No. Not to me, anyway, not at that point. So why are these men proclaimed saints in the Holy Catholic Church? Here it is. The reason is that both, even with all of their faults, with all of their zits, and with all their weaknesses, they had a personal encounter with our awesome, risen Lord Jesus Christ. A personal encounter. Remember this. The Catholic Church is people. We are the body of Christ. And like St. Peter and St. Paul, we are sinners who trust in the Lord with all of our shortcomings. With all of our shortcomings. And that's why he did that for us. For example, Saul was on his way to Damascus, no doubt, to round up more people to put in prison. That he was really good at that. You know, rounding up all these Christians. Well, in one account, a light from heaven made him fall to the ground. Whereupon he heard a voice from heaven asking, saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Why are you persecuting me? And Saul asks, who is this? Who are you? He says, I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. I am Jesus, who you are persecuting. Came the reply. And I thought of that just for a moment. Now here he is, Paul was persecuting Christians all over the area, right? Taking them to jail, men, women, and children. Taking them to jail. Well, I don't know what else he was doing with them. But the Lord says, why are you persecuting me? The reason is that we are the body of Christ. When you persecute Jesus Christ, you're persecuting each and every one of us. And when they persecute you, and you, and you, and you, and you, They're persecuting Jesus Christ. Then they told Saul, anyway, he got off from the ground, he was totally blind. He was told to go to Damascus and wait after 3 days. 3 days, think about that. In the tomb, 3 days. Yeah, he was told to go to Damascus and wait. And after 3 days, a Christian named Ananias was instructed in a vision to restore his sight, and he baptized him. Well, that's got to be awesome. After his conversion experience and a blinding revelation of a risen Christ, Paul stopped his persecution of the Christians, thank God, and found a purpose in his life. And you know the rest of the story. He was a traveling man, recorded in his letters and in the Acts of the Apostles, our several missionary journeys, proclaiming Jesus as Lord. And he became known as the Apostle to the Gentiles. Any Gentiles here tonight? Raise your hand if you're a Gentile. Come on. There we are. This last story was it's tradition. I'm not sure it's fact, but it's tradition that I read about when he died, when he was put to death. The incident reported happened about 3 miles outside the city of Rome. In fact, outside the city of Rome, there's called St. Paul's outside the wall. There's a wonderful cathedral there. The incident is reported to have happened there, and at this spot, St. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, was beheaded. They cut his head off. The story relates that when he fell to the ground, it bounced 3 times, and in each place where it touched the ground, a fountain of water sprang up. And true to the story, the place is called the Trevi Fountain. And it's there today, with millions and millions of people visiting it. But I'm sure they don't realize how that got that name. And now St. Peter for a second. Even after he denied Jesus 3 times and ran off in fear, he remembered what the Lord told him, that he would deny him 3 times after the cock crowed. What did St. Peter do? He rushed out of that garden. He ran away. He remembered what the Lord said. He fell to his feet. He was weeping bitterly. His heart was broken. He said, "Look, what have I done, Lord?" And he repented. And he never, ever, ever, ever denied Jesus again. And that's certainly an understatement. But this imperfect Simon, by the power of God, becomes Cephas the Rock, on which Jesus Christ built his church and gave him the keys of the kingdom. And in the list of saints, Peter is always named first. He is in the Lord's inner circle, and he's there at the raising of Jairus' daughter from the dead. He was there at the transfiguration, at the agony of the garden after his ascension. He speaks for all the apostles. He speaks at Pentecost in one of the most inspired sermons anyone ever heard, and 3,000 people were baptized that very same day after that sermon. He designates the successor of Judas, which shows me he had authority to do that. And he was the first apostle to perform miracles. In fact, the greatest miracle worker of all the apostles. If you remember in one of the scriptures, it said, even his shadow would heal. If he walked by, his shadow would heal. Yes, Peter, our first pope, not only was first among equals, but was martyred, and he was crucified upside down because he felt he was not worthy to be crucified like the Lord. I was fortunate enough to visit the cell, I think Jeff was with me, where Peter was and Paul was, and there's an altar there in that cell. And on the cell, when you first walk in, it's a little strange because you see a crucifix, but it's upside down where Peter was. St. Peter's symbol are the keys to the kingdom. St. Paul's symbol is a sword, for he spoke the word of God that cuts to the truth. Together they both reveal the whole truth, sacrament and word. St. Peter and St. Paul brought the church of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles and to the ends of the earth in order that all become holy, Catholic, one, and apostolic. And in closing, like Father Doc said earlier, as the Lord appeared to the apostles, he asked them a question. He says, "Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" And the disciples said, oh, someone think you're Jeremiah, you're Isaiah, you're St. John the Baptist. He turned to Peter and says, who do you say that I am? He says, you are the Lord, the Son of the living God. You are the Lord, the Son of the living God. You see, St. Peter and St. Paul had an encounter with the risen Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to take just, I know I'm going a little bit longer than I should, but I want you to take 5 seconds in your life, maybe 10, per guy, 12 seconds. I want you to just to close your eyes for a minute. Please do that for me. I'm an old man. Do what I say just once. Yeah. I want you to remember your first encounter with Jesus Christ after you were baptized. Thank you. And what you're going to do this morning is to encounter him again as you come forward like the rest of us, to receive his body, soul, and divinity, and the Holy Sacrament. Are we fortunate or what? How much he loves us. And I know we're all sinners. I don't want you to dwell on all your weaknesses, because we all have them. We're all weak. We all sin. But think of Peter and Paul and what he did with those sinful men after they had an encounter with the risen Jesus Christ. He loves us that much. You can tell, can't you? There he is. He loves us that much. Think about it. Pray about it. And be thankful. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.